Joining us now, he's with the 2018 PGA Minority Collegiate Championship. It's Scooter Clark. Scooter, welcome into the golf shop.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got a big event coming up this week. You know, for our listeners that may not know much about this tournament, kind of give us a little insight as to what this event encapsulates.
Yeah, actually, so we are in our 32nd edition of the PGA Minority Collegiate Championship. We started out in 1987, and fortunately enough, I participated in the first four Minority Collegiate Championships, but the event itself started in Cleveland, Ohio, at Highland Park Golf Course. Very, very meager beginnings. We had a group of men that really wanted to push forward and provide opportunities for young African Americans to play collegiate golf on a broader stage. And so back then, we didn't have the opportunities for our historically black colleges and universities to participate in NCAA play, conference championships, and receive at-large bids. So the championship was created with that premise in mind. Again, so 1987 was the inaugural event. In 1998, we moved the championship to PGA Golf Club, Port St. Lucie, Florida. And then in 2006, the PGA took over ownership of the event. So the event is a 54-hole stroke play event. This year's edition, as well as since its inception, has included Division I, Division II, NAIA, and then Women's Division. And in addition to that, we have men's and women's individual divisions as well. And so, you know, again, the premise is to promote diversity and inclusion in minority golf. So all of our team play consists of teams that are minority-serving institutions. And then our individuals meet requirements for our diversity and inclusion platform. So from that, you know, we play 54 holes of golf at Port St. Lucie Golf Course between the Wanamaker and Ryder Golf Course. The championship this year will be between Friday the 11th to Sunday the 13th, and we'll award a champion in each division. And then on Thursday, which is, I like to say that's even larger than the championship itself, is we have a career expo, Business of Golf Career Expo, where we introduce these young men and young women to career opportunities outside of the 4 years of college eligibility for golf. So really, plants them in a position to where they can take their passion, which is golf, and apply it to a career choice, of their liking. So we have 18 business leaders of the likes of Titleist, FootJoy, the USGA, AJGA, that participate in the Career Expo. We also have resume building and some other aspects to help better these kids and get them ready for their future. So, again, it's a great event. I've been part of the PGA in this championship since its inception, but now I'm working for the championship and the association, which I'm a member of. And so we are fully supportive of it, and it's great to be on this side of it.
Yeah, I mean, Scooter, when this thing began, as you said, it was humble, out at Highland Park in Cleveland. And then just 3 years later, someone had the wisdom to add the career fair. And then, 16 years later, what did the PGA of America see going on at this Minority Collegiate Championship that made the PGA say, hey, okay, this is something we want to support, it's something we want to help manage, and more importantly, I think, since 2006, something they wanted to see grow?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of pieces. I think the component of changing, really playing a part in changing the face of golf was a major impetus. And I think from that, then you look at, okay, how do we do that? And it's, diversifying our workforce. And so, again, it speaks to our career expo and what we're really trying to do with that. So through changing our workforce and diversifying it, we're hopeful and we've seen that we've been able to, change the face of golf, if you will. So we look to really move forward and improve upon what we've got with the expo.
All right. So last year, 2017 champions over in the women's division, Bethune-Cookman University, the men's division one, Bethune-Cookman University, division two for men was University of West Alabama. The men's NAIA was the University of Houston, Victoria. The women's individual champion was Tiana Jones of Maryland, and the men's individual champion was Nabil Khan of UConn. So are any of these teams or individuals back this year?
Yes, so Nabil Khan is back. Tiana actually has moved on and is a director of golf, and so she's actually doing quite well. She's graduated from Maryland Eastern Shore, PGA member, so we're very, very proud of her accomplishments. And so, you know, you look at, let's see, who else? I do know Bethune-Cookman did win. So obviously they're back, and I can speak to the majority of both of those. The men's side, the majority of the team is still intact. The women's side, they've got some new faces. We've got two individuals. One is Mackenzie Butzer. The other is Yudica Rodriguez that are back. And then aside from that, they have three other young ladies that are new to the program, but they are transitioning in very well. Houston Victoria, you know, they've been very consistent with their play throughout the championship. I expect them to contend. And then West Alabama is not back this year, but again, all divisions will be highly, highly contested, and we're definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you're no longer limiting this to the historically black colleges and universities, which is cool, opening it up to minority players from other places. What has worked for minority golf to increase interest? I mean, that is, you know, it's one of the great questions that we have on this show is when we're talking about bringing new people into the sport, bringing young people in and bringing minority players in. What has worked for the PGA or even at a club level? What's really worked to open the door?
I'll say on a broad scale, and whether it's our junior league or other junior initiatives, it's providing access. Affordability are the two drivers, and then the other part of it, you know, I'd say to a little lesser degree, is just the exposure from the standpoint of getting kids to understand and see that the sport is accessible to them. That part of it has changed significantly as far as kids, you know, understanding and really thinking that golf is cool, and I think that's attributed to Tiger as well as Ricky and the young generation of golfers. But by and large, it is, you know, the accessibility. And so through programs such as, again, the Junior League, the First Tee, you know, we're able to accomplish that and knock down some of those barriers. I think when you look at, you know, going forward as far as what's going to help our kids or our youth get from the First Tee level and introductory programs to the game of golf into more elite-level competition is providing those opportunities and that exposure at a you know affordable in an affordable way for parents to be able to put their kids in an environment to play competitive golf, be in an elite environment. And so once they're exposed to that, then they're able to be recruited for programs and hopefully have college scholarships and experience college golf at the Minority Collegiate Championship and other events.
Again, we're talking with Scooter Clark, telling us all about the 2018 PGA Minority Collegiate Championships. And, you know, we've talked about on this show a lot about the Tiger effect and all the young players that were going to fill the void of Tiger not being around anymore. And we're still seeing that as Tiger is working on this latest comeback, how he does move the needle. Since you've been associated with this basically from the start, I mean, when Tiger Woods burst on the scene kind of 96, 97, and then started winning all the golf tournaments, you know, between, you know, in the next 10 years, what kind of effect did you see from this championship on somebody like Tiger Woods having an impact? And the second part of the question would be, as on the LPGA side, we see kind of the Asian influence of all the South Koreans and all of the different Asian countries providing great LPGA golfers. Have you seen another effect on that side as well?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you look at, you know, we'll say the Tiger boom, if you will, I think that was everybody at that, you know, there really wasn't one race or any group of people that was, you know, impacted or we saw the movement more than another. I think they moved across the board. With regards to, you know, we'll say, you know, multicultural or Asian influence in the game, I think, again, you're looking at a broad scale of being able to make the sport accessible and open to people of all races. And so if you look at the diversity and inclusion model, you know, that's exactly what we do is however we can broaden the scale and provide opportunities for people of color, people from different backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds, to be able to afford the game and play at an elite level, then that's what we need to do. And so, you know, if you talk about, you know, Asian population, then yeah, there's a difference as far as being able to embrace the game, embrace the sport, have the discipline to be able to move forward and look at it from a long-term advantage.
Well, and I you know, it's interesting. When I look at what goes on in the historically black colleges and universities, in 1999, I wrote the HBCU football preview. And I went into it with one mindset and came out with 70% bands and step shows. So is there a way that you can incorporate some of these bands and some of the activities in this event? Because just like the, you know, just like Thanksgiving Day with Grambling and Southern, man, people stick around for halftime.
Yeah, I mean, that is a part of HBCU culture, whether it's Grambling and Southern or any of the others. But again, you know, we're hoping to make, you know, we want to make sure that people understand that, you know, they're talented individuals. And even when you're looking at those football classes, they're still talented individuals. Yes, the bands and the step shows are, you know, kind of the draw and the appeal. But again, it's about, in that arena, it's about quality football. And so we're looking at the same way, saying, hey, it's about quality golf, regardless of what else surrounds it. You know, these young men, young women go to, you know, play for these collegiate programs, and they're serious. They're focused. They're serious. It's something that they're committed to. And so we're committed to making sure they have a great experience. We're also committed to their career development.
Scooter, you know, we always talk about that, you know, what's next? I mean, you guys have taken this from, you know, its infancy back in 87 up to where it is now, including the PGA of America. Is there something else that you guys are working on that may take this to even another level?
Yeah, I mean, again, the major focus for us is that expo. You know, we want to make sure that we're able to provide opportunities for any young man or young woman that wants to pursue a career in the business of golf. And so, you know, we're really connecting with these different business leaders and these different businesses to make sure that we are on the front end of a lot of these opportunities, so that going into this championship, we're able to have these individuals identified, have the initial screening, and hopefully have true interview experiences where we're able to plug them into those positions. You know, hopefully upon completion of this event, they go into summer and they're ready for either internship or long-term position. So, you know, our immediate goal as far as this championship is really to create additional opportunities and exposures for our young men and young women.
All right, well, if people want to follow along as with scoring and see what the teams are doing and how the individuals are doing, how do they go about doing that?
They can go to pga.org/championships, and they can go to minoritycollegiatechampionships.com.
All right. Well, Scooter, we appreciate you coming on with us, and we'll be watching, and we look forward to seeing how it all shakes out.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it much.